And you have no idea. But so I was thinking about, you know, choices today, and I remembered, it's probably one of the only like non-required books that I read in high school, and probably only the young adults in the room will know or remember. How many of you were alive in 1999? Lies. So when I was in high school, this was like, actually, no, it was before I was in high school. So if that tells you anything, it was a long time ago. But there was a school shooting in Littleton, Colorado at Columbine High School. And like, I remember things that were put into place, like, because of that and stuff. Like, it was pretty crazy. And, you know, my ADHD brain, like, running through the scenario, like, what if it happened here? Like, what would we do? You know, how would this work kind of thing? Of course, we had, like, ran, like, drills and stuff like that, like, just in case. But one of the people, and I actually read a book about her story, her name was Rachel Scott. And she was actually targeted by the shooters because of her faith. Like, they had put videos online, like, making fun of her and threatening because she believed in Jesus. But, you know, for me, it, like, sparked thoughts of, well, what would I do in that situation? I was living for Jesus. Was I, like, full on fire? I don't know, man. I was, like, in the eighth grade. It was rough times. But think about it. Like, what would you do? They, like, went after her, and one of the shooters asked her, like, if you say you believe in Jesus, if you say you're still a Christian, then I'm going to kill you right now. And she's like, I'm not going to deny my God. I'm not going to deny him. Could you make that choice? I would hope that you could, because you know what is waiting for you if that were to happen. Because you believed and trusted the Lord wholeheartedly that no matter what took place, that he was going to take care of you. So beginning in our story tonight, in Daniel chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, so basically we're just introduced to Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So those were the four young men. They were chosen out of the tribe of Judah, and they were given Babylonian names, okay? Daniel's Babylonian name was actually Belshazzar. And then you have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In verses 19 through 20, so the king, like, interviews them, basically. They had to go through, like, this rigorous training. They were supposed to eat certain things, but they were like, no, we don't want to eat that. If we look bad, we'll eat what you want us to eat, but just give us water and vegetables. How many of y'all could survive on water and vegetables? Only? Yes. Kendon right now, like, anything. Yeah, great. But so here are these guys. They're, like, now in the royal service, and the king is coming to them and consulting with them. Anytime he needs something, some wisdom or balanced judgment, because he finds them 10 times more capable than any of the magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom. Like, think about that for a second. Who these men were to the king. In Daniel chapter 2, verses 48 and 49, it says, then the king appointed Daniel to a high position and gave him many valuable gifts. He made Daniel ruler over the whole province of Babylon, as well as chief over all his wise men. At Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be in charge of all the affairs of the province of Babylon, while Daniel remained in the king's court. So basically, these three Hebrew boys are running Babylon together. How do slaves, exiles, and nobodies end up in authority positions? Jesus, right? You know, I hear people sometimes, this phrase, it kind of, I don't know, people use it kind of in a just dumb way sometimes, but like the expression, have you ever heard, favor ain't fair? And like, you know, people talk about it like, you know, I prayed and a parking spot opened up close to the front or whatever. But like, have you ever prayed for God to do something? You really didn't, like, it wasn't a necessity, but he did it for you. Over the years, we've had people that applied for jobs here in the church, applied for jobs, and then were told, okay, hold on a second, we're going to rewrite the requirements for this position because right now you're not qualified, but we want you, so we're going to make it to where you are qualified for this position. Like, does that happen on a regular basis? No. That's the favor of God. Later in Daniel chapter 3, so King Nebuchadnezzar makes a gold statue 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, and he sets it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He sends out messengers to the high officers, officials, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and everybody else to come to the dedication of the statue he had set up. So all these officials come, and they stand before the statue of King Nebuchadnezzar. And then this herald, that's basically somebody that just, like, announces things, he shouts out, people of all races and nations and languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments, bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Sounds like fun. So at the sound of the musical instruments, all the people, whatever their race or nation or language, bowed to the ground and worshiped the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. But some of the astrologers went to the king and informed on the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, long live the king. You know, you issued a decree requiring all the people to bow down and worship the gold statue when they hear the sounds of the musical instruments. That decree also says those that refuse have to go into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews, and they give Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you've put in charge of the province of Babylon. Do you think they were jealous a little bit? He said, they pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue you have set up. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a choice, right? They had a choice to make. Am I going to go ahead and bow down to this statue? Or am I going to be faithful to the only living God? You know, they could have, like, bowed and asked for forgiveness later. Like, that's a possibility. Thankfully, we do have a forgiving God. But what would that have said about their previous dedication to God? Do you ever think about that? When you say you've made a decision, I'm going to live for Jesus, but then an opportunity arises. Have you ever thought about what making the wrong decision might mean for someone that you shared the information with that you are now living for Jesus? Do you think that that hurts your testimony? Yeah? Because what happens? Oh. What do we get called all the time? Oh, there's just a bunch of hypocrites in the church. Listen, we serve Jesus. We're not perfect, right? Nobody is. Nobody is ever going to be except for Jesus. But when we have a choice to make, what choice, what direction are you going to go? Have you ever considered that? Spend any time thinking about it. Boys, y'all put those under your seats right now and leave them there. Thank you. See, these accusers that came along accusing, I'm sure, you know what? And this is another thing, guys. If you announce, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm going to live for Jesus now. Do you know what? You are now under a microscope for everybody around you. Because I guarantee you that those men were watching. They were paying attention to see what they did. Because they knew, they had heard how these men served the Lord, how they believed in God. They knew. So they were paying attention. Do you think people are paying attention to you? Even if you don't think that they are. And I'm sure, you know, they were playing on the king's ego, like, oh, king, you're so great. You're so wonderful. Oh, yes, it was a great idea for you to make this gigantic waste of gold for everybody to bow down. So silly. They were probably jealous. I mean, here, these guys that came over, they're not from their culture. They don't have, obviously, the same beliefs that they do. And here they're raised to position of authority. Like, would you be a little upset? What if your parents decided to put your youngest sibling in charge of everything? I mean, would you be super excited about that? You're the youngest, Jamie. You're shaking your head. Listen, I remember how my youngest sister was. Like, I was telling somebody the other day, we would lock her in her bedroom because our bedrooms, you had to go through one to get to hers. But it wasn't because we were just mean. It's because she would throw stuff at us. We weren't mean. She was mean. We had to protect ourselves. So in verse 13 through 18, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. When they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I have set up? I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, Ho, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. So I want to point something out. See, they continued to give honor to the king, even though they weren't going to bow down to this golden statue, because they continued to say, your majesty. They were cordial. When we're in a tough situation, it does not excuse for us to have respect and honor for authority, does it? Because if you lose respect for authority and can't give honor to somebody, what is that saying about who you're claiming to be if you're claiming to be a Christian? If you're claiming to follow Jesus? But they're telling the king, no matter what you do, we're going to be faithful to our God. Do you think that you have resolve like that in your relationship with Christ? They knew what they were about. They knew what the consequence was going to be. But they remained faithful. And even though they didn't yell out anything, they spoke very loudly to the people around them. Like, we are who we've said we are. We believe what we said we believe. In verses 19 through 25, it says, Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. I love when I see words and things in description, details in scripture that I've never noticed before. It's so interesting. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king, in his anger, had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the 3 men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. But suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them into the furnace?" "Yes, your majesty, we certainly did," they replied. "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see 4 men unbound walking around in the fire unharmed, and the 4th looks like a god." So, for starters, they shouldn't have even made it into the furnace. If the soldiers, these really strong dudes, go in to put them in there, burn up before they ever make it into the fire, they didn't have fire-retardant clothing back then. They didn't know what that was. Like, can you imagine what it would be like? Now, Joe and I have had some pretty hot fires over the years. There's one time I remember, so like we bought and sold storage units for a little bit, and not just a little bit, but we had like our driveway right beside the house, and then like there was like some trees and kind of an opening, and that's like where we would burn all the trash, junk, whatever. And our house had like a glass screen door, whatever, on the end. And it was like the whole door, like, you know, it has the metal frame. Like, you couldn't even touch the frame because the door was so hot. Like, if we had had regular house siding, it would have melted the siding. Like, that's how hot it was. And, like, you know, there have been times where we've been, like, hanging out with fire. You know, you're roasting marshmallows, whatever. But, like, one of those that you can't even get close enough that you have to, like, lean kind of far away because it hurts your face so bad. 7 times hotter. I don't know if you guys have a great imagination, but, like, that's crazy. And another thing that I find really interesting is, like, so they were tied up. They were bound. Only the ropes burnt. Like, it says when they come, like, there's no marks, anything, but yet there's no more rope. Isn't that cool? And who did Nebuchadnezzar see in the fire? I think it was Jesus. But how did he know Jesus was Jesus? Like, you know, do you think he just like looked up and winked, you know, kind of gave him a little head nod, like, hey man, what's up? I need you to leave my people alone. Like, that's just crazy. In the next couple verses, so it says that Nebuchadnezzar comes as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouts out, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Then the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I make this decree. If any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb, and their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. There is no other god who can rescue like this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher positions in the province of Babylon. There's no other God that can rescue like this. Think about that for a second. Whatever situation you're facing, whatever thing that's going on in your life, whatever struggle it is that you're having, if God can handle a fire that was hot enough to disintegrate people and not let it disintegrate those three people? How do you think that your situation appears to him? It's not impossible. And we know because of what he did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that he will be there for us, that we can trust him, that our faith is in the right thing. I was thinking of a story that there's this missionary, I can't remember her last name. Her first name is Teresa, not Mother Teresa, but her name is Teresa, and she's a missionary from India to India. And so she would come to BB a lot. Like, we had her so many times. But part of her testimony, I remember telling one night, she was like a runner. Like, she ran, like, for fun, you know. Not me. But she would just, like, run through the city, okay? And so, like, India, not really a safe place. And one night she decided that she, like, ran and she went running and then she was going to take a taxi home. But the taxi didn't actually take her home. So the taxi, like, pulls up to some shady-looking men and she begins to pray in the spirit. And somehow the door's locked and eventually the cab driver, like, pulls away and goes and takes her home. She was almost abducted and would have been trafficked. But she believed. She believed that if she prayed right then, that God would save her, that God would protect her in that situation. And the crazy thing is, she operates in an orphanage there in India. I can't remember. I wish I could remember where. I have no idea. I have her book. I don't know where it is. But like, if God hadn't have saved her, there are hundreds of girls there in India that wouldn't have been rescued from trafficking because she wasn't there, that wouldn't know who Jesus is because she wasn't there to teach them. God protected her. God protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he can do the same for us. One thing we need, though, is we have to have a relationship with Jesus. Do you feel like you're in a place in your relationship with him that you could stand up for God? Are you going to remain standing when asked to bow to the world, no matter what it offers? I want you to stand up and close your eyes. I want you to think about this last question. Is there something you know that the devil could tempt you with? I want you to get that thing, whatever it is, pictured in your mind. And then I want you to imagine throwing that thing into that furnace. That it is gone, it is no more. You're not going to think about it anymore. You're not going to consider it anymore. Because tonight, you're going to let God take care of it. If you're in this place tonight and you have that thing in your mind and you want God to take care of it, then I want you to come up to the front and we're going to pray tonight. If you're in this place tonight and you would say, I'm not 100% on where I am with Jesus, then I want you to come up to the front. Maybe you're in this place and you say, I want to know in my heart, in my mind, that if someone gave me that choice, that I would choose Christ. You want to know for certain tonight. Father, I thank you for each one of these students. Leaders, if you would come and pray. God, I pray that you would touch each one of them. Lord, that you would just pour your spirit out. God, pour your